The following program is a production of MDS Entertainment. Welcome to a Nate Darling Show special, Tate, with Nate. One in a series of conversations between Nate and people he finds interesting. Now, a man with no turntables and a microphone, Nate Darling.
All right, it's time for another episode of Tate with Nate. It rhymes, that's why we call it that. If you've got a better idea, feel free to email me. It's nate@natedarlingshow.com. And, it's people that I find interesting from all walks of life and professions. Last time we talked to Chris King, who's an amateur filmmaker. This time we're talking to Brian Bishop.
Who?
Brian Bishop.
Who?
Okay, bald Brian from the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, Brian, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Of course, yeah, happy to be here.
Very good. As you can tell, I downloaded your app off of, off the Android marketplace.
Oh, sweet. Thanks, man.
Bald Brian is known most for being one of the best sound effects guys in radio and now in podcasting.
And how dare you?
Well, I don't want to slight somebody. I mean, there may be people I don't know about. But absolutely one of the top guys, and he has an app out in the iTunes store and the Android marketplace. Oh, did I lose you?
You did. It's a connection loss.
Okay, you're back.
Okay.
We're going to keep that in. I like keeping stuff like that in.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Typing.
Wires exposed.
Exactly. So, you can go ahead and get that at the Android Marketplace or at the iTunes Store, and you can play things like Dr. Drew.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's really everything you need to get through a day at the office, because I've just thought about how I can use all of these things in my day-to-day life.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I assume that it's best used for breaking up boring meetings or talking to your spouse or partner, whoever. So it's best used for breaking up the monotony of everyday life.
I agree wholeheartedly.
See? Just like that. Simple as can be. Now, Brian, you...
Hey, man, I know you like the wires exposed aspect, so I feel comfortable saying this.
Yes.
I cannot hear anything you're playing off of that app, so all it is a few seconds of dead space.
Oh, that's strange. Okay, well, then I won't play it anymore.
But just so you know, that's why I'm not responding to anything. I have no idea what you're playing.
Okay, what was the I agree wholeheartedly drop?
Yeah, there you go.
So, you, sir, grew up in the Bay Area, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So that means you had some sports loyalties that that are mostly Northern California based.
Yeah, very true.
And so how do you feel about this? This literally just happened yesterday. The Giants, for the first time in history, shutting out the Dodgers for a 3-game series.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was very pleased to see that. Nothing will make you more of a Giants fan than living in Los Angeles and being surrounded by Dodger talk all the time. So I was very pleased that the Giants swept the entire series, not just the series, but shut out the Dodgers in all three games. It was very pleasing. It only would have been better if they had done it here at Dodger Stadium and the Dodger fans had stomped each other to death.
Yeah, well, there is that. I was really encouraged to see that that Tim Lincecum is actually sort of returning to form after being just god-awful for 2 months.
Yeah, he had gone like 10 starts winless or something like that. It was, I think the third Cy Young is going to have to wait at least one more year for old Timmy. But I made the point during the great playoff run a couple years ago that I always felt like Matt Cain was the real ace of the staff. I mean, if there was a big game, I always wanted Matt Cain to be on the hill. He always felt a little more reliable, a little more in control of things, and he's having a great year this year.
He absolutely well. He got the big contract extension, and he's certainly living up to it so far.
Yeah, totally.
Which is fantastic. So Joe Montana must have been a big part of your life growing up.
Oh, yeah, of course. Although I probably came into my own as a sports fan more in the Steve Young era. But, of course, I mean, growing up with Joe Montana and my family, a legacy of 49ers fans, you're very aware of the Joe Montana mystique.
So how disappointed were you and your family when you found out about Skechers shape-ups and the shoe that Joe Montana endorsed being nothing but a fraud?
we were devastated.
I know.
We took the holidays off that year.
It killed me, too. I mean, it was terrible. But I did file for my $40 to get some money back from my pair.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, it'll you know what's really weird is I've gotten a couple of those class action checks out of nowhere where it's like $10 here, $20 there, and it's like, oh, all right, cool. Get to go out to dinner.
That's kind of cool, I guess, when a $10 check shows up at your house.
It's dinner at In-N-Out, but it's still dinner. So it doesn't really matter. And now, from Northern California, you went to USC.
Correct.
What was your major there?
I started off as a print journalism major and eventually switched to creative writing. So I finished with a creative writing major.
Yeah, print journalism, way to get out of that just in time.
Oh, yeah, I definitely timed that perfectly. I really had some great foresight going into college as a a print journalism major and then getting into radio immediately after that.
Right. So how did you get started in radio?
It was very simple. At a certain point, I needed a part-time job getting out of college, just sort of pay the bills. And I applied for a phone screening job at K-Rock in Los Angeles, which is kind of like Live 105. It's essentially the same thing as Live 105 in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And I screened calls during the day and did that for a year, and then started screening calls for Loveline, and that's where I met Adam and Drew and all them, and the rest is sort of history.
Now, tell me a little bit about Loveline. What was it like working behind the scenes there? Because, I mean, that was one of the most popular shows on radio that was on in the middle of the night. So people were, like, huge fans of the show. What was it like sort of being there with different bands and celebrities coming in and all of the very frank talk about sex and other things?
Well, it was awesome just because I was a fan of the show growing up, you know, throughout high school and stuff. That's for me when it was on MTV. And, you know, it really got a national presence at that point. And very much grew up a fan of the show. And then when I got to work there, not only was it awesome to sort of work alongside underneath Adam and Drew, but also, you know, meet the crew and Anderson, who I had really admired for his drops ability and all that stuff. And then on top of that, getting to meet, you know, cool celebrities or comedians or bands or whatever was icing on the cake.
Now, you mentioned Anderson, so I'm going to jump ahead a little bit of what I was going to talk about. You do a podcast with Anderson right now.
I do.
Called The Film Vault.
That is true.
And one of the cool things about The Film Vault, and I listened to a couple of episodes, I don't love Anderson the way you do, of course.
First of all, let it be known that I do not love Anderson either. But no, I'm kidding. He's a good friend. But I recognize and acknowledge his divisiveness.
That's cool. But I did listen to one of the more recent ones with Bobcat Goldthwait, where he was in talking to you guys. And one of the cool things about the Film Vault is you guys sort of break down a sort of topic in terms of movies and do a top five of a different sort of category. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's not exactly a groundbreaking topic or format, I should say. Like, it's not, you know, reinventing the wheel. But we take anything from something as objective. In the Bobcat episode, we did top five, you know, music documentaries, and we've done top five sequels and top five villains and all those very standard stuff. And then sometimes we'll do stuff that's a little more interesting or subjective, like we'll do top five movies that scared you as a kid, or top five movies that made you cry. Like, just interesting ways of talking about movies and sort of opening up discussions about movies we'd like to talk about. And yeah, so hopefully it's a combination of informative and interesting, and hopefully, you know, a little bit funny or amusing sometimes.
And just for you personally, what are a few of your favorite movies of all time?
Oh, Jesus, so many. You know, I obviously, the, you know, the standards, I love, you know, The Godfather. Everyone loves The Godfather, and The Shawshank Redemption, and Silence of the Lambs is a really fantastic film. And but I also, you know, have a very soft spot. We did top five guilty pleasures a couple years ago, and I have a real soft spot for romantic comedies and silly movies that are just fun. I love it's been well documented on the show how much I love Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. I think it's a fantastic film, and Love Actually is a great movie. And I, you know, I like these kind of silly, lighthearted fare when they're done well.
Now, I'm going to jump ahead because I do another podcast called The On Demand Super Show, and we're reviewing The Artist this week. What did you think of The Artist? I'm going to use a little bit of this in that show. What did you think of The Artist?
I love The Artist. I thought it was a fantastic film. I don't know if it was the best movie of the year, but it certainly was one of the best movies of the year. And I thought, honestly, it would spawn a lot of imitators and sort of a throwback, you know, copycat type films, but it hasn't done so yet. But be that as it may, it was a great movie, and I enjoyed it very much. I said it at the time, and I still believe it, I sort of think it's impossible not to really enjoy the artist. I mean, it's a very enjoyable, very pleasing movie. And it obviously, you know, proof's in the pudding. It's it cleaned up the Oscars, and rightfully so. It was a very, very good movie.
Okay, now here's one of those hard questions for you in terms of movies. Would you rather, if I had to force you to go see one of these two movies, which would you pick? The new Katy Perry movie in 3D or Magic Mike?
What is Magic Mike? I feel like I've heard about this movie. I was out of town for 10 days, so I've been totally media shut out. What is Magic Mike?
I also did not know about Magic Mike until I was watching the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders show, and I saw a commercial for it. It's the new Channing Tatum movie with Matthew McConaughey, and it's about male strippers.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why would I not want to see the Katy Perry movie? I mean, she is a beautiful woman, well built, put together, and if it's in 3D, you say?
That's what I'm told. Yeah.
Why the hell would I not want to see that?
That's my thought too. So, I've been having an argument with people about this. They're like, you need to go see Magic Mike. I'm like, no, I do not need to go see Magic Mike.
No, I. Who knows? Magic Mike may be funny and good and clever and all those things.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I'm just you know, allowing the premise that it may be, probably won't be. But, my God, any red-blooded American male should want to see Katy Perry in 3D.
Absolutely. Okay, and if you're interested in the Film Vault, because it's kind of cool, and you should at least check it out to see what that's about. It's available on iTunes, and you can also, if you're not an iTunes guy, go to andersonandbrian.com, and that's Brian with a Y.
Yeah, I appreciate the ringing endorsement. It's kind of cool.
Well, if you're into movies, it's going to be super cool.
I'm teasing you. It's definitely not for. I say that to everybody. It's not for everyone, and just give it a shot. And if you enjoy our banter, then you may stick around and want to hear some more episodes.
It was a fun show, and a lot of it's going to be dependent on topic too, because there's going to be a topic that you might be super into, and you're like, oh my God, that is the most awesome thing ever. Even if you're like, I don't know about this, but I just love the way that you sort of pick different things and just don't wham through movie reviews, because I think that would get kind of boring after a while.
Agreed.
Now let's jump back a little bit to the Adam Carolla morning show.
Okay. He replaced
Howard Stern on the West Coast, and he, correct me if I'm wrong here, he brought you and a few other people over from Loveline for that, correct?
No, that is incorrect. Okay. I was the only person from Loveline that he brought over, although I had not worked for Loveline for maybe a year or so. I had a full-time job and then had produced on his Comedy Central TV show,
okay,
which was a very fun opportunity. And then it was right around the time that show was ending, Adam got announced as the new Howard Stern, and it was the situation where there's not a whole lot of jobs on a radio show. There's only room for about, you know, six or eight full-time, you know, staff members. And I basically was like, hey, if there's a job for me over there, I would love to be a part of it. Just because, granted, it was a big step backwards financially, but it was a really cool opportunity. I wanted to be around this once-in-a-lifetime sort of opportunity to, you know, the guy who replaced Howard Stern. I was a huge Stern fan, and I was a huge Loveline fan, so it was something I really wanted to be around, because it was a very rare opportunity. So I became part of the show as a call screener, and I thought to myself, well, I can't really afford to do this for very long, but I'll stick around and I'll do it as long as I can and see what it's all about, and hopefully I'll have some cool stories to tell. And you know, one thing led to another, and I was given a shot to try to do some on-air stuff, and I stuck around and eventually became the on-air sound effects guy.
And I'm going to pay you a compliment here, an unabashed compliment this time. I think you're fantastic, not only at playing the drops, but also, and this has evolved from the radio show to the podcast, you have a really great way of interjecting just enough to get your point across without stepping on anything that's going on.
And well, thanks. I appreciate that.
That's not an easy thing to do. Because
no, it's not. In fact, if anyone, I'm sure they're out there, if anyone wanted to listen to my first few months on the air in 2006, I'm sure I was fairly green and did not do it right. And so it's really evolved over time. I definitely probably improved.
It's to the point now where it's fantastic. It's like a three-person show. And a lot of your talking is done through the drops that you play. And that's kind of how you're interjecting your opinion and things like that. But then there's the times when you actually come out with your own voice, which is it adds a ton to the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, the drops are, you know, I think for any casual observer, you know, the drops are just sound effects. But really, and not to get too, you know, I always hate people that get too philosophical or too heady about their own jobs, especially when it's playing fart noises. But if you want to get, you know, philosophical and heady about the drops, they're really less sound effects than they are, you know, sort of an ironic commentary, I guess, on what's going on. You know, it's very much taking the piss out of Adam or Allison or whoever's talking, the guest or whatever, the caller. And it's sort of the Greek chorus, you know, the classic Greek chorus who's commenting on the proceedings in hopefully an ironic way.
Now, I'm going to jump back to the radio show. We'll get to the Adam Carolla Show podcast in a bit. There was a lot of turnover at the radio show for a while, and I didn't come on board until as a listener because I lived on the East Coast. I didn't come on board as a listener until after Teresa Strasser joined the show. So what was it like when she first came on? Because I understand there was a little bit of internal on-air turmoil with that.
It was the best thing that had happened to the show on the radio, I'll tell you that much. She was a fantastic co-host, and we were saddled with a less than ideal female sidekick at the beginning. And Teresa started around the same time I took over as the sound effects guy, and she was fantastic and was great the entire run of the show, and have no complaints whatsoever about the way, you know, she was on the air. She was fantastic.
Well, I was referring more to sort of the battles between her and I don't know if they're even battles, but the conflicts between her and Dave Damaschek, which of course since been paved over and taken care of and apologies issued. But you know, you always are kind of curious as an observer in the studio when stuff like that is going on, what the tension is. Is it really just an on-air tension? Is it something that's felt off the air too?
You know, I don't know the 100% of the dynamic, but from my perspective, it was sort of a perfect storm of a lot of things. You know, Dave was under fire from management, who very much did not want him there. And of course, we, being me and the fans and everyone who listened, loved him. But, you know, he was getting it from one side from management, and then was, you know, sort of under fire and under duress for his role on the show. And then, you know, when Teresa came around, it was just a mixture of, you know, sensitive egos on both sides. And I don't think I'm breaking any news here that Dave and Teresa are both really, really sensitive. Just was a poor mix of tension from the outside, i.e., you know, upper management and, you know, people. It essentially was a startup, you know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of money poured into it, but it was essentially a startup, and the ratings weren't where the executive sort of expected them to be at the beginning. And I think a lot of fingers were pointed and a lot of hasty decisions were made unnecessarily, in my opinion.
And that brings us to Danny Bonaducci.
That's one of those hasty decisions.
Exactly. I remember when that was announced, because one of the first places I heard about it was on The Soup with Joel McHale. And I'm like, well, that's going to be interesting. And as a listener, I didn't necessarily hate it, because there was that tension that existed. But I could see where that would be grating if you were dealing with it day after day, where you had the two sort of alpha male personalities.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I can say about the Danny era that hasn't been said already on the podcast and just in various whatever interviews or whatever. But, you know, I will say, you know, after all said and done, I hold no ill will at all towards Danny. He did his thing, and he was really good at his thing, and he does the Danny thing. And he did exactly what you would expect or hope if you hired Danny Bonaducci to be a part of your morning show. And cannot fault him for that. It just didn't work. It just didn't mesh. And I think, you know, it's fairly obvious from listening to that year's worth of shows, especially towards the end, that interesting experiment, but just didn't work.
Yeah, it did get, you could sort of tell if you listen chronologically to it, you can sort of hear Adam especially start to get exasperated, where Danny would interrupt something and then there would almost be an audible sigh, like,
yes.
Oh, Jesus, here he goes again. That
yeah,
sort of thing.
If you were a careful listener at that time, you could probably hear some really interesting interesting psychological stuff going on the air. If you're like, wow, there's something's amiss in the studio, or something feels weird.
Right. Now, one of the games that was played on that show and has continued on the podcast is the totally topical TiVo trivia.
Yeah.
That you dominated on until one show near the end of the run. And shortly thereafter, we found out that you were diagnosed with a brain tumor. Was that really the first sort of warning sign that there was something up, or were there other things?
No, it was not. Although, I mean, I just say the law of averages. I was probably destined to lose at some point. It was probably coincidence. Really, cognitively, I didn't have any symptoms. The only time I ever had any cognitive problems was once I actually started chemotherapy and radiation. Other than that, I say it's just sort of the law of averages. I had to lose eventually. But yeah, I had a good run there with the topical TiVo. You know, it was originally supposed to be my original idea for that was USA Today trivia, because we always had USA Today sitting around, and they always had movie listings in the back of the paper, and I was always like, these listings are ridiculous. And then it just evolved into TiVo, because I think it was easier to look up TiVo stuff for Mike Lynch or whoever ran the game. I think it was easier to look up the TiVo descriptions.
Yeah, it's a fun game. And it was just kind of interesting. I love the way that it sort of evolved. I love the excitement that Adam has when he can actually beat you, as he did in a recent podcast in New York. And that could partially be because weren't you out in the crowd with a microphone?
We were all on stage. But I really never make excuses, but in this one sense, I will say it was so loud and so raucous. I honestly could not hear Dawson for half of the question, so I kind of threw my arms up and said, "Yeah, whatever." But yeah, I do take it as a compliment when Adam gets so excited that he wins. You know, for me, it's kind of like, "Yeah, I won again." Whereas when someone gets super excited, I do take it as a compliment.
Now, and I don't want to belabor this point, but you got married just over 3 years ago, so the diagnosis with the brain tumor came just before your wedding.
I got married 3 years ago yesterday.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
That's fantastic. And a lot of credit has to go to your wife, because it can't be easy when you start off a marriage, and obviously you were together before this, but just talk a little bit about how she supported you through this time that you were going through with the cancer diagnosis and everything else.
Well, I disagree, first of all, that she deserves as much credit as me. Just kidding. Yeah, my wife, Christy, who, by the way, if you don't mind, I'd like to plug her food blog. She has a food blog that she does on the side, and it's fantastic. It's pardonmycrumbs.com if you guys want to, you know, check out some cool recipes or some cool food news if that's your kind of thing. But be that as it may, when you're the spouse of a, you know, cancer guy who's getting cancer treatment, you're as much you're as much in it as he is or she is. And granted, you're not being radiated and you're not taking chemo, but that's your full-time job, man. You're 100% responsible for that person pretty much 100% of the time. And when I was at my worst, she was there. She was my 100% of the time caretaker. And that's tough when you're trying to not only just start a marriage or a family together, but also when you're trying to live your own life and get a job and do whatever. So she put her own life on hold for whatever it was, a year, and sort of, I would say, nursed me back to health. But it wasn't even with the goal of like nursing me back to health. It was just the goal of making sure I was okay. And so when you're the caretaker, be it the spouse or the son or the sibling or whatever it is, that's a full-time job, man.
Ah, dogs. Very nice. What kind of dogs do you have?
All right, hold on one second. I got someone's at the door.
Okay. We're interviewing Brian Bishop, Bald Brian, from the Adam Carolla Show right now. There's someone at his door, so he's going to check on that. And we may edit this part out later, but we'll see how long it takes for him to come back. Because I'm not stopping and starting again. We have 24 minutes. I'm here.
You should absolutely leave all of that in.
I'm going to. That's
that's what happens when FedEx comes to your door to deliver half a case of wine and your dog freaks out.
That is awesome. We had a show we were taping, and the laptop that I record on, I had accidentally unplugged the power cord, so it went into battery save mode, and we left in the entire minute and a half. We're like, what's wrong with the computer? I don't know what's wrong with the computer. I can't see it. So, yeah, I'm all for leaving stuff in. What kind of dog do you have, by the way?
I have a Jack Russell Terrier mix, or excuse me, Jack Russell Dachshund mix named Charlie.
Awesome.
Very good little dog.
That's very cool. He keeps the bad people and delivery people in check.
That's not right.
So, yeah, I absolutely wanted to talk about your wife because I think credit has to go to the people who support you when you're having problems like that. And it's so hard when you're a newlywed to you have this thought of we're going to live happily ever after and we're going to do this, and to suddenly be thrown into the middle of one of the most challenging things that you could face is got to be tough. So I just wanted to give her a little credit there too.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, man.
Now the Corolla podcast, this thing has just blown up, the most downloaded podcast in the history of mankind. When you signed on to come back in and do this, because he did the first almost year with just him interviewing people one-on-one, sort of like what we're doing here.
Right.
Was there any expectation it was going to get this huge?
I don't know. You'd have to talk. I mean, from my perspective, I'm so – it's like, I'll put it this way. When I finish the show at night, I call my wife and I say, hey, I'm on my way home. I'll be home in half an hour or whatever. And she's like, oh, how was the show? I'm like, it was good. She's like, how was the guest? It was good. Did you say anything funny, or did you have any funny drops, or blah, blah, blah. And I'll say to her, I honestly can't remember. I just finished the show 10 minutes ago, and I can't remember because you're so in the moment when you're doing live podcasting or live radio or whatever that your memory isn't in the mode of, oh, I got to remember that. Oh, I got to store that memory for later. No, you're thinking about what's the next joke, or I got to stay in the conversation, or well, I got to prepare to play a drop or whatever the next thing is. You're always in the moment. You're never storing memories for later, actively storing memories. So to bring it back to your question, I was so in the moment of mind that I was asked to come back to the podcast right around the time I was really recovering and my speech was improving and I was getting better to the point where I could work again, where I didn't know if I would ever be in broadcast shape again. So I was so in the moment and I was so, wow, this is great. Let's move forward. Let's make this a great podcast. Let's do great things, all that stuff. I never thought to myself, well, here are my goals and here's where the show can go and here's what I'd like to accomplish. Because it was all so new. There was no paradigm. No one had been like, oh, this is, you know, the way you do a podcast really, really well. There were, you know, I remember, you know, Ricky Gervais was the previous record holder for most downloaded podcasts, but no one I knew had ever heard his podcast and no one ever talked about it. No one's like, oh, have you heard the latest Ricky Gervais podcast? Or, you know, Leo Laporte was a real, was a guy everyone looked at the time as like, Leo Laporte makes $1 million a year, blah, blah, blah. So, but no one I knew ever listened to the Leo Laporte podcast. He had no cultural impact, which I hope, I guess if there's a goal for the Corolla show, I hope you have a cultural impact. I hope people listen. I hope it becomes a sort of, the paradigm for how to do a podcast right. I mean, obviously you can do it any number of ways and there's some great podcasts out there, but hopefully you know, we're looked at as a, I don't know, trendsetter or a leader in the industry.
Well, I absolutely think so. And one of the things that's kind of odd, because like I mentioned, I started listening to the Corolla podcast. I was living in upstate New York at the time, and CBS Radio started making their shows like the Corolla Show and the Don and Mike Show out of DC available for download on their websites, and those were sort of the forerunners to podcasts. You could download the whole show commercial free. So I'm like, it was kind of weird that all of these CBS personalities like Adam have moved on to doing a podcast when a lot of people were already listening via CBS. So it was almost like CBS sort of laid the bedrock for this whole thing in a little bit of a way.
Nate, you're 100% right, and credit to you, because I don't think I've heard a lot of people bring that up, but the KLSX, which is the station out here, but CBS nationally, they were posting commercial-free segments. I think it was one segment at a time or something, like three segments to an hour or whatever it was.
Absolutely.
The Corolla Show and other shows, but the Corolla Show. And I remember when the ratings, whatever ratings would come up, there was always a cursory like, oh, well, you guys do really well on the downloads. I mean, people love your show. Your downloads are out of control, but can't make any money off that. And, you know, dipshits that they are, you know, CBS Radio, and I think I'm using that word fairly.
Sure.
They didn't know what they had. They had literally a cash cow, the number one podcast in the world, the number one podcaster in the world, signed up under their umbrella, and they willingly let him go. In fact, they cut him loose. Mm-hmm. And I do not think history will be kind to that decision.
No, it was absolutely one of the strangest things I've ever heard. I'm like, but you guys were already doing this. Why wouldn't you take that and figure out a way to make money?
Figure out a way to monetize this.
Especially when you're taking, like, because Adam talked about it on the show, there was a huge stretch of time where they were paying him to not work.
Yeah.
So you're already paying him. Why not give it a shot and see if you can't, in 6 or 9 months, find a way to make money off of it? But
I do think that, I mean, who knows? But in my prediction, I think it'll end up being one of the most short-sighted decisions, maybe, I dare say, in the history of radio. It's people will look back and scholars of the spoken word, it will not be kind.
Yeah, no, not at all. That's kind of my thing. I love listening. I love radio. I out of college, I was a bad radio DJ, spinning records, that sort of thing, making about what a McDonald's employee would make.
Nice. And
one of my favorite jobs. I got fired.
At least they had benefits.
Sort of. One of the jobs I had in radio that I got fired from, the owner of the station hired me to program the music and do the afternoon show. But I would have to go to the AM studio in between breaks and run the national commercials for another state for the Don and Mike show at the same time. And they're like, well, you can record your breaks and you can run over there. And this was his pitch to me. And I was working in retail at the time. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just take anything. And his pitch was, I can only afford to pay you $5.50 an hour, but you can work up to 55 hours a week if you like, straight time.
You know, Adam talks about, he's mentioned more than once on the podcast how messed up radio is and how damaged the people in radio are and just how backwards it is. If anything, he is underselling it. He's actually like under exaggerating, because for every story Adam tells, Adam, by the way, you know, his point of view is he gets the white glove treatment. He's a huge star in radio, or was, and people like you and me and whoever have these horror stories that are 10 times worse than whatever Adam went through.
Right. I mean, I know people with much, much worse stories, like people who had been working as DJs, like morning guys who had been working for 20 years, who suddenly were just, we're going to do something different. So you can go now. No, and no severance package, no nothing. And when I finally got out of radio, I lost another job because they sold the station. I started running the audio board for the Today Show on the local NBC affiliate where I lived. And I was the afternoon guy and the music director, and I got a bump in pay of $1 an hour for the lowest entry-level job at the TV station. I mean, I was like, you mean I get $7.50 an hour? And I was like, yay, score! So it's really interesting the way radio sort of evolved, and I love seeing all these radio guys sort of popping over into podcasts where you really get, and some guys are doing like broadcast safe, or what they call broadcast safe, but a lot of guys like Adam are just going for it, and it's really kind of cool to be able to hear that.
It really separates the wheat from the chaff, to use an old timey phrase, where, you know, talented people will thrive in podcasting, and untalented people will wither away and kind of die a podcasting death. Because people ask me, what's your advice? I want to start a podcast, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, every rule can be broken. You can be controversial, or you can be not controversial. You can be funny, or you can be serious, or you can be informative, or you can be silly and dumb. You can do anything you want. The only rule I say you have to follow is you must be compelling. You must be interesting enough for someone to want to download your next episode. That's the only rule. You can't not be compelling. With whether you're funny or serious or whatever. And if no one ever stopped listening to an interesting podcast, no one ever stopped listening to a podcast they liked.
No, not. I mean, and the difference in radio is, like, radio, you get in your car and, oh, I left it on that station, so it's on, so I'll listen to it. It becomes sort of like a dumb habit. With podcasting, like you're saying, it does require somebody to download something or to go or to log on to something like Stitcher Smart Radio, where you can hear this show, and you can listen to your favorite shows like us and The Adam Carolla Show, too, and probably The Film Vault as well, on demand and on the go. If you don't have Stitcher, download it today for free at Stitcher.com or in the App Store, Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a smarter way to listen to radio.
Look at you getting in the sponsor plugs.
Yeah, you got to get it in here and there. But
well, yeah, you can listen to The Film Vault on Stitcher, so go ahead and download that app.
Put that in your favorites. Put The Nate Darling Show into your favorites on Stitcher, The Film Vault, Adam Carolla Show. Go ahead and do them all. Before we go, I do want to get your thoughts on Alison Rosen, because I think she's a fabulous addition. I know when she first started on the show, there were a lot of people that were like, oh, she looks like Teresa Strasser, she kind of sounds like Teresa Strasser, and she's not like Teresa Strasser. She's her own person. I think she's fantastic. What have you sort of seen her develop into in her time as she's become more and more comfortable on the show?
You know, I agree with you on pretty much all those points. Obviously, there is a resemblance, and, you know, she has a sort of similar demeanor, I guess, if you want to, you know, sort of use a broad term. But, yeah, Alison's really come into her own in terms of, you know, getting her own identity and her own voice. Like, you sort of know what to – and this is not – you know, this is a compliment. You know what to expect from her now. You know her point of view, and you know the kinds of – I don't know, jokes she's going to make. This sounds insulting, but I mean it as a genuine compliment. Like, that's a good thing in radio and podcasting, when you sort of know where someone's coming from. You can be more of a fan that way. You're not like, wait, who is this person? What are they all about? Alison's really sort of developed her identity and has obviously been a great addition to the show. I mean, she's funny and smart and all of those things, and enjoy having her around.
Now, one final question in relation to Teresa and Alison. What's the more ridiculous story? Teresa's story about the male stripper coming to her apartment, or Alison's story about going on the date with a white supremacist?
Oh, interesting. God, I forgot about the Teresa story, I think, because it's a bizarre, it's almost kind of like, it is technically a crime, but she kind of like went along with it, even though she sort of knew that something was up. Whereas, although that's a shortchange Alison story, she did date that white supremacist for quite some time. So I don't know, both great stories. I have to give the edge to Teresa's male stripper story, only because it's one of those, I could see that in a movie, that's a movie scene, whereas
right.
Alison's story is... It's also equally great, but it's a book chapter.
I think the difference is probably Steve Agee waiting in the hall.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Oh my God, that was a great story.
So I was just curious about that. But Brian Bishop, thank you so much. You don't know how much I appreciate you coming on the show. It means a lot to me.
It's my pleasure, and hopefully you enjoyed the part where my dog went freaked out at the FedEx guy.
That was fantastic. So let me get your plugs in again. The Film Vault is on iTunes and on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can get it. If you're not into those, you can go to AndersonAndBrian.com. All things Bald Brian at BaldBrian.com with a Y, of course.
No, that's not. Oh, yeah. No, it's BrianBishop.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Twitter handle is Bald Brian, correct?
That's it. That's right.
BrianBishop.com. I got that one wrong. Damn it.
Don't worry about that.
That's why I don't get paid for this. Unless, here's a way I can get paid for this. If you go to our website, natedarlingshow.com, and click the Shop Amazon Through Us tab, we'll get a little taste of that, too. So I don't make anywhere near what Adam does off of Amazon, but we do get a couple cents here and there. So
I don't think anyone does.
No. And that's fine, because the entertainment value that's provided is great. So I appreciate you doing the show again. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Nate. Thanks for having me on.
I feel in my head, I feel in my tiny heart. When the world is built, I'm sure that it will blow up. Yeah! The way the world is built, I'm sure that it is killing me. This little horror show is barely even thrilling me. Somebody's talking to me.
Who is it?
It sounds like a perfect family.
Who is it?
Somebody's staring at me.
Thank you.
end and his pipe is filled with razor blades. The mother's hanging from a little crocheted noose she made. And if